Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, this is Jana, author of Success Strategies for Black People. I realize I could have called this series the Angry Black Women's Cancer Journals. There's a direct connection between anger and cancer, which is one of the things I've been talking about in these cancer journals. And these are some more reflections on this. One of the main things I recall from reading Audre Lorde's The Cancer Journals is just how angry she was. She would go on and on and on, and she was just so angry. And I read it a long time ago. I think I was still in my teens when I read it, and yet I still remember how angry she was. And of course, Audre Lorde said, "Your silence will not protect you. My silence will not protect me." And she really believed in speaking her truth. And I share that commitment to speaking the truth. So she was angry, and she wrote about it a lot. And as I've been saying, I believe there's a direct link between anger and cancer. A lot of black women are angry. A lot of us are angry, and we are carrying that anger. And I believe that the anger eats away at us, and then the cancer eats away at us. Anger eats away at our lives and our bodies. Audre Lorde was angry partly because the authorities, her health care providers, wanted her to wear a prosthesis. She had a mastectomy, and they wanted her to wear a prosthesis afterwards. This was before the days of reconstructive surgery. And she felt it was inauthentic to wear a prosthesis, to pretend she had not had a mastectomy. I think in the end she had a double mastectomy. And then she eventually died. So she talked a lot about her anger and how they were putting pressure on her to wear a prosthesis. And I think she thought they were trying to get her to hide the fact that she had had breast cancer. And she had had to have surgery, this disfiguring surgery. She didn't want to hide it. I can't say I completely understood or agreed with her choices, but that was her truth, and I respected it at the time, and I still respect it now. It's about being real. My anger is something I've been carrying for many, many years. I experienced a lot of abuse, a lot of verbal abuse as a young person, mostly from my mother, who is mentally ill, although my father failed to protect me. I experienced a lot of very bad verbal abuse, and it still affects me now. It affects how I feel about myself. It affects how I feel about my body. And I live with this every day. And I work with this all the time. I work with this a lot. These negative feelings I have about my body and the anger I carry. Lately, I've been feeling more angry than I have for a while now. I used to experience a lot of intense anger, and lately, I've been feeling like that again. I think it's partly due to the meds I'm on, as I have been prescribed steroids to help with the side effects of the chemo. So I think the anger I'm experiencing currently is partly chemical due to the meds, and it's partly about me as well. And I do believe anger eats away at us sometimes. As I have said often in my blog posts, black people are very damaged. We have been very damaged by racism over centuries of slavery and oppression. And this continues to affect us, and it continues to affect our families and our communities. And it will continue to affect us until we heal it. And one reason that I keep saying this over and over is that I have seen this. I have seen this in my own experience and in my own family. My mother is a very disturbed woman. She is seriously disturbed, and she's done a lot of damage. And I believe a lot of the reason she is so disturbed is to do with the racism she experienced in her life, and probably the sexism as well. And I've seen it in a lot of other places as well. I've seen it in other people's families as well. I've seen it in Michael Jackson's family and in his face. So have you. And I've seen it in a lot of places. In the way light-skinned black women are sometimes worshipped and dark-skinned sisters are sometimes shunned. I've seen this self-hatred in our businesses and in the fact that we do not support our black-owned businesses. I've seen it in so many places. So have you. The thing about recovering from illness is that it gives me a lot of time and space to reflect. So I'm becoming more and more aware of my anger these days. And I've been working with my anger and working on my healing process for many, many years, probably the whole of my adult life. But part of the problem for me is that it is so confusing. It is so hard for me to work out what happened, what I experienced. I've forgotten most of my childhood. It's just a complete blank. I simply do not remember, and I have not remembered most of my childhood experiences for many, many years now. And in my family, there was a lot of denial, and there are a lot of lies told. This is what happens in families. It's very commonplace. The family will regroup and form into a ball and deny, deny, deny to try to protect itself. But this does not work. It cannot work. We have to tell the truth or we can never heal. We must be able to speak our truth. So I would say to my mother, you said this and this. And she would say, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. Your father said it. Or your grandmother said it. Or something. She would just lie. And there was a lot of denial in the family. So it was very confusing. And it just felt like the ground was shifting all the time, constantly. I felt like I was constantly having the rug pulled out from under me all the time. It was very confusing. I didn't trust my own perceptions. I didn't trust my own judgment. I have a very, very strong intuition, but I just did not trust it. So it was difficult. I can't heal if I don't know what I'm working with, and I don't understand what I'm working with. So it was very difficult. But I'm starting to get more clarity now. Because of recovering from cancer, I'm having to slow down a lot, and this means I have a lot more time to reflect now. And I'm finding I'm starting to understand certain things, like the fact that my mother just did not care about me at all a lot of the time. She did not care about my needs or my feelings. All she cared about was her own agenda, her own obsessions. And I am angry about this. I am very, very angry about this. Even though in some ways it's really not her fault, because she's not capable of really caring about me. She's just not capable of doing it. Because she's very disturbed and she grew up in a racist world. And this has affected her mental health, her self-esteem, and her self-view. The kind of racism she grew up with in the 1920s and 30s was very different from what we experience today. In those days, she couldn't even go into a shop and try on shoes. She had to buy them. She couldn't walk into a shop and try on a hat. She had to buy it. And Winnie Mandela experienced similar things when they sent her into exile in South Africa. So it's not really that long ago. Because I know when I go into certain shops, they are watching me because they assume I'm going to steal something. So it has changed, but not necessarily all that much. Racism damages us. This is just one of the things I'm angry about right now. And racism has damaged my family, and it's damaged yours too. And we carry those wounds and those scars, and they affect us from one generation to the next until we heal them. So my healing process is ongoing. When I started chemo, I was very nervous. And I went to the hospital and they kept me waiting. They always keep me waiting in the oncology department. And then they called me and it took them 2 hours to get the cannula in. So they could not give me the chemo because they couldn't get the cannula in for 2 hours. And different people tried, and eventually this nursing assistant managed to get it in. I was really upset by this point, and she asked me, how do you feel? So I said, I'm upset. She said, why? Now, I've mentioned this before. The people in the oncology department just seem to ask the stupidest questions sometimes. I don't know if they have a book of stupid questions they have to learn or if they just make them up. She asked me why I was upset, and I said, I'm having chemo. It's taken 2 hours to cannulate me. Do you think this is fun for me? Why are you asking me this? And the poor woman was just trying to help me, and she did help me because she was the only one who managed to get the cannula in. And they were saying they would have to put in a PICC line, which is a permanent line, to administer the chemo. Different nurses, different people kept coming over and saying, I think you need a PICC line. You might need a PICC line. You may need to have a PICC line. PICC line, which is a permanent line. So I was just getting more and more upset and scared. And I regret that I took it out on her, because it really was not her fault. But she really should not have asked me that question. It was just the wrong thing to say at that moment. And this is all so that they can pump toxic chemicals into my blood. This seems completely backwards to me. It just seems completely upside down and backwards and inside out to me. Or I could say counterintuitive. It just seems wrong. How can they pump toxic chemicals into my blood in order to get rid of what's left of the cancer? Surely they should be removing toxins, not adding toxins to my body. So I'm angry. Yeah, lots of anger. And I was angry with the consultant, the senior doctor on my case, because she did not explain to me that I needed to have my kidneys tested. She told me my kidney function was fine, and then she sent me the appointment for this test. And I'm thinking I had to wait 2 hours to see her. My appointment was at 12:30, and I didn't get seen until 2:30 in the clinic. And I knew that would happen, because that always happens in that department. And after I waited 2 hours to see her, she couldn't take 2 minutes to explain to me why I needed to have this test done on my kidneys. Then when I went to the hospital to have the test done, the nurse said to me that the reason why they do the test is that the chemo can make your kidneys stop working. And nobody explained to me before I signed the consent form. So I was really, really shocked when she said that. So this doctor had still not responded to my queries, and I was seriously considering making a formal complaint about her because it's just rude and disrespectful not to explain to me that I needed this test to be done. It's her job to explain this to me. How did she get to be a senior doctor, a consultant, without knowing this? But I spoke to someone else, and she asked the doctor to phone me, and she phoned me straight away, so I'm feeling better about it now. The doctor apologized, and she's been away for a few weeks. So she was not getting my messages. I don't like to dwell on the negatives, but I do believe in being real. And I'm carrying old anger about things and I'm from the past, and I'm angry about the way I'm being treated now, and they're probably related. But I do have lots of effective methods for dealing with anger and dealing with the fear, because underlying the anger is a lot of fear. So do check out my other blogs, because I have lots of information about how to deal with this anger and how to manage it, and I am managing it a lot better than I was before. I'm a lot calmer now than I was before. Anyway, this is Jana. I hope you found this useful. You deserve love and understanding. The parts of you that are afraid, the parts of you that are angry, deserve love and understanding. So stay real. This is Jana, author of Success Strategies for Black People, wishing you a wonderful day and a wonderful life.